Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, what's up, Deanne? Permission to enter the mothership, brother.
Ever heard a sports talk show like this before? Didn't think so.
What's going on, Dirty Dirty?
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
DA, how you feeling, brother?
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Wednesday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good, and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. They found a better way to mortgage that you can focus on making your new house your home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Jeff Schwartz is going to join us this hour, SiriusXM NFL analyst. We'll talk to Jeff about Lamar Jackson's explosion and whether the Ravens are the most dangerous team in the NFL as we head down the home stretch of the regular season. He'll join us coming up at about 27 minutes from now, at 30 minutes past the hour. Also, we'll talk about the ACC and how embarrassing this is going to be in the Orange Bowl. And we've got your epic fail this hour as well. We'll take your phone calls at 855-212-4227 and on Twitter, DA on CBS. So Antonio Brown apologizes to Robert Kraft on Twitter yesterday. Or should I say his PR flacky or his agent apologized to Robert Kraft yesterday on Twitter.
I'm not on Twitter or Facebook right now.
Because I know this, if Antonio Brown was tweeting, it would not include correct uppercase and lowercase and a semicolon. Here's my guess. Antonio Brown doesn't even know where the semicolon is on his keyboard on his phone. I don't think I do either. Antonio Brown, if there was a semicolon, it would have been a mistake, and so there would have been a fat finger or two as well of tons of ellipses, tons of dashes, three different exclamation points. Kraft would have been lowercase. I mean, there would have been all types of grammatical issues and weird emojis and something cryptic, and there wasn't. He didn't tweet that out. That was his agent or his PR flacky doing the bidding. But why was it sent? Well, the timing's interesting. Because after beating the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday, Tom Brady's become Mr. Mope.
Well, offense isn't good. We got to get better. I'm never happy in the season. I wish we scored more points. We got to be better.
For whatever reason, clearly, Tom Brady is mopey. Now, maybe it's because he's questioning his own abilities. Maybe he feels as though Father Time's finally caught up. Maybe he's frustrated that the offensive line is not very good. Maybe he's angry that Rob Gronkowski retired and his best tight end option is Ben Watson. Maybe he's upset that Antonio Brown is not on this team anymore. Maybe he's upset there's not a lot of weapons. Maybe he's upset they can't get a consistent ground game going. Maybe he's upset because he knows he doesn't have many cracks left at this thing, and he's so hyper-competitive that even last year's championship and six overall is not enough. Not enough. Maybe that's it. But I think more than that, it is Brady overall understanding that there is some real physical limitations to what he can do that has not been there in all of the other years he's played. So Antonio Brown's camp is probably saying, see, Brady's unhappy. Maybe Brady can do something to get AB back in the fold, because we think that Tom Brady was supportive of AB, disappointed when they let him go, frustrated that they decided to let him go. So this is Antonio Brown's camp, I think, trying to say, okay, we got one, at least one ally in the NFL let's try to make good over there, and let's make good with Kraft because he was the guy that wanted to get rid of us, AB. It wasn't Belichick. It wasn't Brady. It was a Kraft call. Let's make peace with Kraft. Does Antonio Brown want to come back and play for the Patriots? Yeah, he said so. He has said so. Let me earn my paycheck. Let me come back and play for the Patriots. But will it work? I think the answer is no. Is Antonio Brown trying to play for the Pats? Is his camp trying to negotiate to get in with the Pats? Does Team AB say Kraft is our key to getting back in the league? Probably. But is it going to work? I don't think so. I don't think so because I don't see where the NFL is going to want Antonio Brown to enter back into the fray after they have not concluded this investigation into potential domestic violence, right? Or sexual assault, I should say. He has these claims against him. They have not announced that they've wrapped up this investigation. Nothing's been wrapped up legally. So the NFL, with 6 weeks to play in the regular season, suddenly going to go, oh, you know what? We think we're good on AB, so he's good to come back. I don't think the league would be happy with that. I don't think people around the league would be happy about that. And I certainly don't think people would be happy with, down the stretch, the Patriots suddenly get Antonio Brown to come back into the fray to become a superpower. So my guess is the NFL, kind of like Myles Garrett, take him out of the equation. We don't want him back playing football this year. We've got a final 6 weeks of the regular season of the playoffs. Let's keep it there. They've done it before to players. They didn't want Kaepernick involved. Get him out. They don't want Myles Garrett involved. Get him out. They didn't want Ray Rice involved. Get him out. Antonio Brown, Greg Hardy. They can make players sit on the sidelines for as long as they want to, and I think they're going to do that with Antonio Brown the rest of this season. 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico, our toll-free line. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Geico.com, 15 minutes. You could save 15% or more on car insurance. Mike is in Colorado listening on the radio.com app to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Mike.
Morning, DA. Let me get that beam up, brother.
You got it. What's cooking?
First off, man, been a long time. I moved up here from Abilene, Texas. Used to call you out from there. They don't have CBS radio here, so I have to track it down. But I still do.
Good.
Man, I just wanted to talk about the Myles Garrett thing, if that's okay.
Yeah.
I just, you know, there's a lot of emotion being involved in this, and I'll try to look at the facts, what happened. Obviously, you can start the situation from any point in the altercation. But if you look at what transgressed, I mean, what we've got here is we got to levy the boom on Myles Garrett for the simple reason that, man, you can't do that. You made the choice to swing the helmet. I know it was in your hand. You could have dropped it and then punched him out, whatever. The Mason Rudolph thing, like, hey, can we get a punishment for the instigator for once, please? Can we get, now that we have all this beautiful technology, to go back and look at this guy trying to rip this dude's helmet off? Like, Mason, at what point did you think that was a good decision? At what point did you think Myles Garrett was going to enjoy that and allow you to do that and not try to rip your face off? And then after you instigated that and he retaliates and rips your helmet off, you go after him? Like, what were you going to do? Like, no, you have to punish the helmet thing. Absolutely. Can't hit a dude with a helmet. And if it's a certain dude hitting a smaller dude with a helmet, Mason Rudolph looks like a big, sturdy guy. He got some stitches, I heard. What if this is a little tiny kicker or something? You could have crushed the guy's skull, probably. So, yeah, the severity of what happened is crazy, but can we please, please go after the instigator as well? And Marquise Pouncey needs to be the most punished.
I don't agree with that. I think if you're talking about most punished, clearly Myles Garrett has to be that. I mean, Marquise Pouncey is snapping into action defending his guy. I know it wasn't pretty. He's kicking a guy on the ground. But let's go back to the Mason Rudolph conversation, because we talked about this yesterday with Sean Merriman. And Sean Merriman said, in no way can Mason Rudolph play the victim. And Merriman said, what Myles Garrett did was wrong, but Mason Rudolph cannot be the victim. And I tend to agree. Here's the thing. Myles Garrett risked being the ugliest moment in NFL history, because by taking that helmet and bonking a guy in the head that doesn't have a helmet, Had he hit him the right way, swung it and hit the temple, or had the hard side up instead of the grill side up and comes down to Mason Rudolph's head, if Rudolph drops, head splits open, blood is gushing down his head, and he ends up having brain damage and he's carted off the field, that ends up being the ugliest moment in NFL history. So that's what Myles Garrett was in the crosshairs of doing. So because of that, and because the NFL clearly wants to provide this as a deterrent, because the last thing they want is everywhere on national TV, constantly on the internet, a replay of a guy swinging a helmet and crushing another guy on the head with it. Replay, 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 over and over, on loop, everywhere. You can't escape it. They're going to send a message, Garrett done for the season. Okay, I could get behind that. I said that after it happened last week. Once it happened, I said you got to suspend him the rest of the season, and then you can revisit in the offseason. That's what they did. For Mason Rudolph, I don't think you suspend him. I do think you fine him. Because it is true, Mason Rudolph walked into a buzzsaw. Rudolph was having a terrible football game. I mean, egregiously bad. To the point where watching that game was an offense to football fans with how Rudolph was playing quarterback. There was no rhythm, no timing, no organization, no anything. It was drop back to pass and throw it as far as you can and close your eyes and hope for a defensive pass interference. And he ends up with a defense that's keeping him in that game, keeping it a one-score game. That Steelers defense is balling out, keeping it a one-score game, and Rudolph can't do anything. And then eventually throws the back-breaking interception. He was trash. So, he's frustrated. He's angry. I'm sure the Browns are taunting him. I'm sure the Browns are all over him. I'm sure Myles Garrett's been barking in his ear the entire time about what trash he is. And then he's a hothead. He gets into it. He's wrestling with Myles Garrett. And then Garrett takes off the helmet, obviously. And what Mason Rudolph does is runs into the fire. Without a helmet, runs into the fire, and then gets bonked on the head and immediately goes, yeah, see? Oh, where's the flag? Which is not exactly a tough guy act. I don't think he should be suspended a game because he didn't actually commit any of the violence. It wasn't Pouncey. It wasn't Garrett. He didn't hurt anybody. He wasn't trying to hurt anybody. He was just trying to, stick his nose someplace where it didn't belong. But I would fine him. I do think a fine was reasonable in that situation. And as Sean Merriman said, Mason Rudolph can't come out and act like the victim. You stuck your nose in a situation without a helmet on, and then we're looking around for a flag. Oh, see, where's my flag? 855-212-4CBS, Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, the Orange Bowl has a very difficult decision to make, and it's because the ACC is so gross. What's it going to be? We'll tell you just how bad it could get. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Like that big boy?
Damon Amendolara came up to me and said, do you mind if we go out together on your boat? I would love that. I love the water.
Doesn't strike me as an outdoorsman.
I turn around and I hear, oh no.
Did he catch something?
Well, it looked like he caught something.
Yeah.
And I looked over and he did catch something.
What did he catch?
My engine is what he caught. I don't know what's going on here, but I think I've got the pole stuck on the prop.
D.A. lost at sea.
D.A. on CBS Sports Radio.
That's a good Nomad episode. Thank you, Gio. 22 minutes past the hour. D.A. with you. Speaking of Nomad, brand new episode is out. Our trip to Minnesota. For behind the scenes at Target Field, home of the Twins. Eating a puck dog at a hockey-centric pub in St. Paul. And heading to the Minnesota Wild game. Mraz and I on the road. Available now on YouTube, my travel series. Go there, subscribe, and you'll get notifications of brand new episodes.
Electronically ignorant.
By the way, this week's PGP also out, and I think it has a lot to like. we delve deeper into the Peter Schwartz going to Thursday Night Football for free pizza, Thursday Night Football pregame for free pizza. If it ain't free, it ain't Pete. And we also discuss whether Bogish committed a party foul by eating the breakfast purchased by him before the person that bought it ate their breakfast. And we discussed the Nomad episode as well, as Mraz was too buzzed to remember doing anything on camera for this episode.
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
It's time for our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. Senor Pantleg tweets, DA, could this save the ACC? Bring in Oklahoma and Texas. The Big 12 shows zero initiative in expanding and saving themselves anyway. So either of those teams might bail on the conference in the near future. Otherwise, both conferences will be in a perpetual mess. It's a thought. Geographically, an odd fit to put Oklahoma and Texas in an Atlantic Coast conference, but there's been weird geographic fits anyway all across the country. The ACC has the number of teams that they want. They've got the 14 teams. They don't necessarily want to go to the 16 because they've also got Notre Dame, remember, as a 15th team for everything but football. So to add more programs, do they want to do it? Also, Texas has this amazing role in the Big 12 where they control everything. They get their own television network. They have more power, influence, and revenue than anybody else in the Big 12, which is what makes them not being in the power of the Big 12 even more shocking. Does Texas want to leave for a conference that doesn't give them those benefits? Do they want to leave being the big fish in the little pond for being a medium-sized fish in a big pond? I think Texas really likes the fact that it gets to call a lot of the shots of the Big 12, if not all of the shots. But for the ACC, let's talk about this here. CBSSports.com did an interesting piece about what happens to the Orange Bowl. Let's assume Clemson goes to the college football playoff. That means that the ACC representative in the Orange Bowl, which is not a playoff game this year, is the second best team of the ACC. Now, they can pick who they want. They get their first pick of the ACC. Aside from Clemson, they get the first pick. Who are you going to choose? Who are you going to call? Look at these teams. You could take whoever comes out of the Coastal to play in the ACC championship game. You could do that. But that team is going to be coming off of a destruction at the hands of Clemson in the ACC title game. So let's just go ahead and say it's Virginia Tech, and Virginia Tech loses the ACC title game 45-10. Do you want that team in your Orange Bowl? Probably not. Okay, so you can go back down the list. Who would be the second best team in the ACC? Right now, no other teams are ranked outside of Va Tech in the AP Top 25 at number 25. But in the playoff rankings, no other ACC team is in the playoff Top 25. So, who's it going to be? Are you going to take right now a 7-3 Virginia team that's going to get smoked by Clemson? A 7-3 Pitt team, unranked, that would get smoked by Clemson? A 7-3 Va Tech team that would get smoked by Clemson? Would you take one of the teams that don't make the ACC title game just because they wouldn't be coming off a destruction loss? Would you take Louisville? Would you take Miami, who could end up being 7-5? There are no good options. Nothing. And so the Orange Bowl, which has as much heritage and history as any other bowl game outside of the Rose Bowl, is going to have to pick from the dregs of the ACC and pick perhaps a 4 or 5 win on a 4 or 5 loss unranked team in the ACC, or in the Orange Bowl rather, because they've got this tie. And because this conference is so bad aside from Clemson right now, it makes you wonder, could the Orange Bowl try to find an out in their contract where if there is not another ranked team that they get to pick from, they get to go to a different conference? There's just no juice. And as Pete the Body might say, give me some juice here. Want some juice?
A little more juice.
The Orange Bowl is no juice. Whereas, what's the best option for the Orange Bowl when Clemson goes to the playoff?
I mean, their best option would be making Notre Dame finally sign over and say, hey, you want to play your ACC basketball here? You better be an ACC football team now. Now, that would never happen, so I guess.
Is it Miami because of the history of Miami?
Fan-wise, the best team...
A 7-5 Miami team in the Orange Bowl?
No, I guess the best team would probably be Virginia, and only from the standpoint of they've hung in there versus some bigger opponents for at least a half or three quarters, even the Notre Dame game. But the Virginia Cavaliers versus, I don't know, Georgia in an Orange Bowl? Are we staying up late to watch that?
Think about this dominance in this conference. Clemson, over the last 5 years, has lost 2 games in conference. They are 38-2. Their average margin of victory in the ACC over the last 5 years, 25 points.
It's incredible.
Could you imagine if Alabama had lost 2 games of the SEC over a half decade and had an average margin of victory of 25?
It's almost unfair. You know who's really to blame here for all of this? Syracuse.
Well, they were a preseason top 25 team and totally fell on their face.
That was supposed to be the team. They screwed themselves week 2 versus Maryland, and that ruined the Clemson-Syracuse game, having that any juice. Syracuse would be set up ripe if they were done anything like we expected them to do to go play in the Orange Bowl.
They did screw themselves, no doubt. But what's scary is that conference needed Syracuse football to be good. That's never a strong position of strength that you're looking at. And in terms of RPI, the ACC is the 6th ranked conference. You know how we say there's a Power 5? Well, the ACC is the 6th ranked conference out of RPI. The American is higher. And that includes Clemson. That includes Clemson. I think that this is going to be an offseason where the Orange Bowl wonders, how come you guys can't get it together so that we actually have a decent opportunity? We get to pick who we want out of the ACC, and there ain't nobody to pick from. Joining us here on the show is a good friend of the DA show, former offensive lineman in the NFL, NFL analyst for SiriusXM, also Pac-12 analyst as well, my friend Jeff Schwartz. Jeff, good morning.
I think it's been like 3 years since we called that game together now. Wild.
It's been so long. Once upon a time, Jeff Schwartz and I called a huge Conference USA matchup at the University of Charlotte for Stadium, and I can't
believe...
They're
good now, by the way. Like they can score a ton of points.
They can? The Niners can?
Yeah, they went to App State this year, put up like 48 points. Oh, yeah, they're one of the highest scoring teams in the country right now.
Oh, so we saw the start of the rebuild.
Well, they have a new coach now, but yes, we saw the start of...
Okay. So you look at the Pac-12 very closely. Do you have confidence that the committee jumps the Pac-12 champion into the Final Four over Alabama?
No, zero confidence. I don't know why anyone would. I saw people yesterday, Alabama's 5, and therefore, Oregon or Utah win out. And since when do you guys think Alabama's going to get passed up for Pac-12 champion? Especially, by the way, if Alabama goes into, I think Auburn comes to them, they beat them with a backup quarterback. Of course, they're in at 11-1. All this stuff about them not being in is wild. There's been no evidence to show that anyone at all ever since the Pac-12 champion deserves to be in the playoff, unless they're undefeated.
Do you think they deserve to be in the playoff?
Yes, I'll use Oregon as an example. Now, I think Utah is maybe better than Oregon, but Oregon will have won 12 games in a row. They'll have won 10 conference games for the first time, I believe, since the playoff inception, and they'll just be in a top 10 team on a neutral field. Of course they should be in.
Okay, so you don't have confidence that the right thing then will be done by the committee because of the brand of Alabama.
Right, and you know, one thing that's kind of hurts Oregon in this instance is the voice in the room that can push for Oregon is Rob Mullins, who obviously runs the committee. And he's not allowed to be in the room when they talk about Oregon. But we know that, you know, they talk about teams in kind of groups. So Oregon, Utah, Alabama are kind of all talked about together, and he cannot be in the room for that discussion because if Oregon's brought up, he's got to leave the room. So our biggest advocate for our school can't even be in the conversation when we're there. And look, I understand the idea that, you know, comparison losses, right? Auburn, you know, Oregon loses to Auburn, Alabama beats Auburn, but we play them in week one. Like, we are a better football team now than we were in week one. I just don't have faith. Do you have faith that 11-1 Alabama is going to be passed by a Pac-12 champion?
I do. I do because Alabama's resume is so weak. They won't have a real quality win outside of maybe the Alabama game. But their schedule to this point has been so bad. They came off a bye and got smoked in the first half with Tua against LSU. And now without Tua, they're going to be home idle while the Pac-12 champ has a quality victory, either Utah or Oregon. I think it sets up perfectly to hop that winner with a 13th data point, if you will, right over Alabama and into the Final Four.
The question I have, too, is that if it's not Oregon, if it's Utah, that's going to be tougher sell, in my opinion. Now, Utah, I'll tell you, Utah's probably going to be a favorite over Oregon when they play in San Francisco. I mean, Utah is as good as they come. Their defense is outstanding. Offensively, Tyler Huntley, their quarterback, is one of the most accurate passers in all of college football. Their running back, Zach Moss, will be a very good pro running back. But they had that bad game to USC, which, by the way, is so uncharacteristic of Utah. They had 16 penalties. They had multiple red zone turnovers. Their defense, for some reason, that game just couldn't defend USC's wide receivers. Utah is really good. So it would not surprise me if Oregon lost that game. But, you know, a 12-1 Utah team, I think, doesn't have the sex appeal that an Oregon team does.
Well, I would agree. And that's going to be the worry. If Alabama wins easily in the Iron Bowl and looks really good doing it, and then the Pac-12 champion is a clunker game and Utah wins 17-13 in a defensive battle, then it might be a tougher sell, as you said. Let's talk about the NFL as well. Do you think the Ravens will continue to be this dangerous as we head into the playoffs, or is this just a really hot streak they're on for this month?
Well, I don't see why they slow down. They are very well coached, right? So they don't kill themselves. Right, they don't commit a lot of penalties. They don't turn the ball over. They don't have a lot of blown coverages on defense. They don't have a lot of mental errors on offense. They play a physical brand of football. They're good on special teams. I mean, they're good at where they're supposed to be. Plus, as we get toward the end of the season, they're very healthy, which is hugely important. And so are the Patriots, who get Isaiah Wynn back, their left tackle, this week. So, you know, they're getting healthy. Ravens are very healthy. And right now they're in a roll. They have the feel of a team that can make a deep run in the playoffs. Now, historically speaking, this style of offense has not worked over a long period of time. It can work in a single season, right? Colin Kaepernick was able to do it for the 49ers. Now, then again, we're more used to this style of offense now than we were back then. But I think this year, it's definitely working, and I didn't think it would work. I was a vocal critic of Lamar Jackson and this offense heading into the season, so I'll take my loss on that one. But I don't know how you stop it. I really don't. I'm interested to see this weekend, I guess it's Monday night, Wade Phillips get his crack at it with the Rams defense, who's playing well right now. So looking forward to seeing that game. And then they play the Niners the following week after that. And you know, it puts the pressure on the Patriots. The Patriots have to keep winning because I do not think the Patriots want to go into Baltimore in the AFC Championship game. They want to play at home in Foxborough where it's nice and cold. They don't lose home games in the playoffs. So they got to be, making sure they continue to win their games, too.
No doubt. Jeff Schwartz joining us to talk a little college football and the NFL. What's your read on why Brady seems so down the last couple of days after that win?
Well, offensively, they're just really not firing, I think, on all cylinders. you know, the offensive line is not as good as last year, and Isaiah Wynn back will be huge help in that. And it's just, they don't really have an explosive weapon on offense, at least not yet, right? They're working in Sanu and N'Keal Harry from Arizona State, who's not really a burner, but a really good wide receiver, got his first opportunity to play last week, and Edelman obviously been there forever. And I just think they feel like they're not very crisp right now. But remember this, too, is that Tom Brady loves to use these type of things for motivation, right? He loves to be kind of angry and people count us out. And I saw articles this week, well, is Tom Brady an elite quarterback anymore? I mean, he might not be, but why would he write that? Like, he's going to use that as motivation now to continue to train every week and get ready. And the Cowboys defense has not played very well at certain points this year. So this, you know, maybe this is kind of a get-right game for the Patriots offensively. I think they'll be fine. They are missing Gronk, of course. He doesn't have a security blanket. You know, third down and eight, you know, hey, throw the ball to Gronk. He's matched up on a safety, a corner, a linebacker. He'll make that catch. He doesn't have that guy right now. I think that is frustrating him as well.
Is there any part of this that you think he's a little shook because physically he can't do the things he used to?
Yeah, you know, that's a fair discussion to have. He's, what, 40 years old, 41? Of course his body is not going to be quite the same. And we saw with Phillip Rivers on Monday night. Phillip Rivers sees everything the same. He just can't make the throws anymore. I think with Brady, we're seeing some of that as well. He clearly does not want to get hit, right? Anyone ever close to him, he throws the ball right in the feet of the nearest eligible wide receiver. No, that's a valid discussion to have. I mean, he's getting older. His arm strength is not going to be the same. We saw at the end of last season, Drew Brees' arm strength wasn't quite the same. But, you know, he expects perfection from himself and from his team, and I think he wants his offense, especially, you know, after a bye. I think he thought they'd be more crisp. They perked up a little bit when they went no huddle in the second half and just kind of gotten more of a rhythm and gotten more of a tempo. And they'll be okay. I don't worry about the Patriots until I have to worry about them, and I'm not worried about them.
Amazingly, he's 42 years old, so that's just even goes to show you how crazy it is that he's even at this level. Let me just wrap up with this, Jeff. Taco Bell is suggesting for Thanksgiving to go out and buy a Taco Bell gift pack, and that includes a series of chicken roll tacos. You put them in a pot, you put some broth in there, and then you mix whipping cream in there to make a bisque, and then you dip their hard tacos into it. Final 30 seconds or so. Would you eat the Taco Bell bisque?
Do I get some, like, toilet paper and, like, some Pepto for that as well? Do I get, like, both of those things with my meal? No, I do not. I go with a hard pass. I live in the South now, buddy. We fry our turkeys down here. And I fry my turkey, and I love every second of it. The crispy skin, oh, it's the best. So, no, I'm not eating Taco Bell for Thanksgiving.
So fried turkey over Taco Bell bisque is what you're telling me for Thanksgiving.
That sounds like... Oh, God. Taco Bell bisque. That's disgusting. Oh, no. I need that.
Jeff Schwartz, our friend here on the DA Show. Thank you, Jeff. Good job, man.
All right. Take care, bud.
Okay. I will have an announcement about the Taco Bell bisque when we come back here on the DA Show.
Little wet, little drippy, 24/7.
I'm actually in some hot water with my girlfriend right now because of your show. She asked me how I'm doing at work. I respond, a little wet, a little drippy. I'm doing nothing but speaking in your show drops, and it is actually causing me problems in my personal life.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Pardon me, my fault. I'm a little wet, a little drippy.
48 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio.
First time caller, too.
So the DA show is available to watch every single day at watchda.com. Also, you can check out the best of clips on YouTube every single day as well. So we brought up this story yesterday, and I think it has some real DA show legs. Taco Bell for the holidays has put out on its website a recipe to make Taco Bell bisque for Thanksgiving. They are encouraging fans of the restaurant to buy their multi-taco snack pack, which has 6 rolled chicken tacos and 6 hard shell tacos. You're supposed to take the chicken rolled tacos, supposed to saute up some onions and garlic, and then put some broth in there, and then melt down, I guess, the tacos, the chicken tacos, and then add whipping cream. And it's going to make a bisque, a rolled chicken taco bisque. And then you're supposed to dip the hard shell tacos into it. Now, I think this sounds disgusting. Jeff Schwartz thinks this sounds disgusting. Mraz got all giddy. He thinks this sounds delicious. And because you think it sounds delicious, I think you should be forced to make it and bring it in, and that we eat it on the week of Thanksgiving next week. You're out on Wednesday because you'll be hosting Writer Than You on Wednesday.
Well, yeah, I mean, I took off before I was given Writer Than You, so, but nonetheless, that's what I'm going to be doing Wednesday.
Nice. So I'll be here Wednesday, but you won't. So how about on Tuesday of next week, you make the Bell Bisque?
Sure, that'll be easy to transport from train to subway and everything.
Make the Bell Bisque on Monday night, during Monday Night Football. Bring it in on Tuesday. And then we'll get some hard shell tacos in the morning from one of the places around here. We don't have a Bell next to us. But we'll get some hard shell tacos and we'll dip them in the bisque and we'll see how your Bell Bisque is.
Okay. Bell, I'll make a Bell
Bisque. Bell Bisque DeVoe.
Yeah, I just don't understand why you guys would think this would taste bad. Bisque is great. Taco Bell is great.
You're melting down chicken tacos.
So what? You put fake lobster in a lobster bisque. Suddenly, ooh, look at the lobster bisque. I mean, come on.
What happens to the consistency of chicken tacos as you melt them down into a soup?
What happens when you eat a chicken taco? Melts into your intestines, doesn't it?
That doesn't make
any sense.
It's
the same thing.
No, it's not. So you want it? You want to ingest everything that you eat as it is digesting in your belly.
How you do that when you have a broken jaw.
Oh,
you ever listen to Through the Wire by Kanye?
You think that tastes good. So you want to go out and eat a steak dinner. It turns into a slurry in your stomach. You want to vomit back up and then eat it. That's how you would. That's how you would rather eat your steak.
You watch. I'm making the best damn bisque everybody's ever seen.
Bell Bisque DeVoe coming up Tuesday morning here on the DA Show. Let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. Mraz and I fighting over the Broncos having a steak dinner after a 20-point gag.
Even the DA Show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Why do you always have to find a negative in things that could be a positive?
Because have you walked the earth? You have to find a negative in everything.
You know, you really turned into a cynic since I've known you.
No, I have not.
This could be a really good thing for the Broncos.
But define good. What is it going to do? It's going to get them to a mediocre draft pick and keep their bad coach? That's
all
the
right.
Good thing? They're out of the playoffs. So now you mean to tell me, after being in Minnesota and blowing a 20-point lead, they fly back, they take their little airplane back to Denver, and that somehow an hour spent at a steakhouse.
An hour? You know how long it takes to eat a dinner with 55 guys at Del Frisco's?
2 hours. I'm done in 10 minutes. But bottom line is that you've seen me eat. You're telling me the arguing over the cream spinach, the mashed potatoes, whether you prefer the bread basket or the dessert.
Beam me up the hot Cheetos.
You're telling me you go through all those antics, and that somehow now is going to reunite this team to get back on a plane, fly to Buffalo, and not fracture?
Yeah.
Come on.
I think that can.
It's not like they went mini golfing together.
I think that can bring guys together. They're talking about their family here. They're talking about each other.
Half of them are going to be off the roster in 6 weeks. There's nothing left to bond over. The season is over. Stop trying to look for credit, Von Miller, because you took your team out for a couple ribeyes. I mean, get serious.
Rusty Staub has died at the age of 23.
You are such a cynic. I like it.
And also, it's thumb in your nose at the regular Bronco fan that you could afford a steakhouse like that, too. What, the Olive Garden suddenly wasn't good enough? Everybody can't bond over unlimited breadsticks and salad? I find that to be a little ridiculous, too.
Well, wouldn't you, if you could afford a better dinner, wouldn't you go eat a better dinner?
But that 50 people at a steakhouse is obnoxious.
French onion, bacon, horseradish, buttermilk, ranch.
The point is, too, any one of them can afford to go to steak dinner on their own. But a real team bonding thing? That's when you go to Buffalo Wild Wings. You order a bunch of wings, some pitchers of beer, you have some laughs. That's bonding.
That's how you bond.
You don't bond at a steakhouse.
Steakhouse,
you show up, you get some A1 on a nice collared shirt. You don't understand why you dress because you walk out of there feeling like a pig. It makes no sense. None of this makes any sense. It's all about Von Miller looking for attention.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
What a weird rationale as well. Like, Del Frisco's is all across the country. It's not just for the Broncos players. It's not like a private cafe for them. Plenty of average people eat steaks there. I like it. It bonded them. I bet you they play well on the road in Buffalo this week. I like it. I'm not a cynic like Mraz. I liked it. Now, I'm very skeptical on how Belle Bisque DeVoe tastes. Taco Bell in a soup, I'm not all that interested in. But we'll do that on Tuesday. We'll taste test this bad boy. We'll see Mraz's cooking skills. It's a football food of the week idea. That'll do it for us this morning here on the DA Show. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan at WatchDA.com, the wizard of WatchDA. And thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Tomorrow, Yogi Roth is going to join us. We'll talk a little Pac-12 with him and Super Dave's college football picks. Be good and be good to one another. I'm DA, and the mothership disconnects.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.